ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, entitled The Cosmic Manifestation, Chapter number 9, entitled Answers by Citing the Lord's Version, Text number 36. Etavadeva jigyasyam tatva jigyasu natmanah anvaya vyatirekabhyam yatsyat sarvatra sarvada. Word for word meanings: etavat, up to this, eva, certainly, jigyasyam, is to be inquired, tatva, the absolute truth, jigyasuna, by the student, atmanah, of the self, anvaya, directly, vyatirekabhyam, indirectly, yat, whatever, syat, it may be, sarvatra, in all space and time, sarvada, in all circumstances. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Translation: a person who is searching after the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Personality of Godhead, most certainly search for it up to this, in all circumstances, in all space and time, and both directly and indirectly. Translation, please repeat. A person who is searching after the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Personality of Godhead, most certainly search for it up to this, in all circumstances, in all space and time, and both directly and indirectly. Purport: to unfold the mystery of Bhakti Yoga, as it is explained in the previous verse, is the ultimate stage of all inquiries, or the highest objective for the inquisitive. Everyone is searching after self-realization in different ways: by Karma Yoga, by Jnana Yoga, by Dhyana Yoga, by Raja Yoga, by Bhakti Yoga, etc. To engage in self-realization is the responsibility of every living entity developed in consciousness. One who is developed in consciousness certainly makes inquiries into the mystery of the self, of the cosmic situation, and of the problems of life in all spheres and fields: social, political, economic, cultural, religious, moral, etc., and in their different branches. But here the goal of all such inquiries is explained. The Vedanta Sutra philosophy begins with this inquiry about life, and the Bhagavatam answers such inquiries up to this point, or the mystery of all inquiries. Lord Brahma wanted to be perfectly educated by the Personality of Godhead, and here is the answer by the Lord, finished in four nutshell verses, from Aham Eva to this verse, Etavad Eva. This is the end of all self-realization processes. Men do not know that the ultimate goal of life is Vishnu, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, due to being bewildered by the glaring reflection in the darkness. And as such, everyone is entering into the darkest region of material existence, driven by the uncontrolled senses, the whole material existence has sprung up because of sense gratification, desires based principally on the sex desire, and the result is that in spite of all advancement of knowledge, the final goal of all the activities of the living entities is sense gratification. But here is the real goal of life, and everyone should know it by inquiries put before a bona fide spiritual master, expert in the science of bhakti yoga, or from a living personality of Bhagavatam life. Everyone is engaged in various kinds of scriptural inquiries, but the Srimad Bhagavatam gives answers to all of the various students of self-realization. The ultimate objective of life is not to be searched out without great labor or perseverance. One who is imbued with such sincere inquiries must ask the bona fide spiritual master in the disciplic succession from Brahmaji, and that is the direction given here. Because the mystery was disclosed before Brahmaji by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the mystery of all such inquiries regarding self-realization must be put before such a spiritual master who is directly the representative of the Lord, acknowledged in that disciplic succession. Such a bona fide spiritual master is able to clear up the whole thing by evidence from the revealed scriptures, both direct and indirect. Although everyone is free to consult the revealed scriptures in this connection, one still requires the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master. And that is the direction in this verse. The bona fide spiritual master is the most confidential representative of the Lord, and one must receive direction from the spiritual master in the same spirit that Brahmaji received it from the personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. The bona fide spiritual master, in that bona fide chain of disciplic succession, never claims to be the Lord himself. Although such a spiritual master is greater than the Lord, in the sense that he can deliver the Lord by his personally realized experience. The Lord is not to be found simply by education or by a good fertile brain, but surely he can be found by the sincere student through the transparent medium of the bona fide spiritual master. The revealed scriptures give directions directly to this end, but because the bewildered living entities are blinded by the glaring reflection in the darkness, they are unable to find the truth of revealed scriptures. For example, in the Bhagavad Gita, the whole direction is targeted toward the personality of Godhead, Lord Shri Krishna. But for want of a bona fide spiritual master in the line of Brahmaji or the direct hearer, Arjuna, there are different distortions of the revealed knowledge by many unauthorized persons who just want to satisfy their own whims. Undoubtedly, the Bhagavad Gita is accepted as one of the most brilliant stars in the horizon of the spiritual sky. Yet the interpretations of this great book of knowledge have so grossly been distorted that every student of the Bhagavad Gita is still in the same darkness of glaring material reflections. Such students are hardly enlightened by the Bhagavad Gita. In the Gita, practically the same instruction is imparted as in the four prime verses of the Bhagavatam. But due to wrong and fashionable interpretations by unauthorized persons, one cannot reach the ultimate conclusion. In the Bhagavad Gita 18.61, it is clearly said, Ishvara sarva bhutanam hriddeshe arjun tishtati brahmayan sarva bhutani yantrarudani mayaya. The Lord is situated in the hearts of all living beings as Paramatma, and he is controlling all of them in the material world under the agency of his external energy. Therefore, it is clearly mentioned that the Lord is the supreme controller and that the living entities are controlled by the Lord. In the same Bhagavad Gita 18.65, the Lord directs as follows: Manmana bhava madbhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mame vaishyasi satyam te pratijane priyosi me. It is clear from this verse of the Bhagavad Gita that the direction of the Lord is that one should be God-minded, a devotee of the Lord, a worshipper of the Lord, and must offer all obeisances unto Lord Krishna. By so doing, the devotee will undoubtedly go back to Godhead, back to home. So there's 5-6 more pages of purport. So I'll stop there, and other speakers tomorrow or probably even day after, they can continue. So we are discussing here the last verse of Chaturshloki Bhagavatam. As Prabhupada writes in purport, the four nutshell verses. So these four verses have got everything we need. But the explanation is given, and these four verses have been expanded into so many verses, thousands of verses, so that we can understand very nicely. If someone is very intelligent, you just need to actually just indicate. You don't even have to say anything. The first class intelligence is one sees and he learns, or hears and learns. So he doesn't require so many words. He just sees a perfect example, hears from him, and then follows it. But for less intelligent people, you know, so much has to be said. But Srimad Bhagavatam, it is so vast, not only because it's for unintelligent people. It is Paramhamsa Samhita. Even the Atmaram, so the self-realized persons, they also relish Srimad Bhagavatam. So it's for both, for unintelligent and self-realized. So both will benefit more and more. So in these four verses of Chaturshloki Bhagavatam, as in the last few classes we had been hearing, that the three main portions of, or three main objectives of the Vedas are given in these four verses: Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojan. So first two verses we discussed about Sambandha, and in the third verse we discussed about Prayojan, and today's verse is about Abhideya, the process. So the Prayojan or goal was discussed in yesterday's verse, because once we know the goal, then we can think that how to reach there. So that's why we decide the goal first, and then we choose one of the ways. In purport, Prabhupada was writing, there are so many ways of self-realization: Gyan, Ruga, Raja Yoga, and so on. Bhakti Yoga is the topmost. So first the goal is set, and then we decide which path to take. So Bhakti Yoga is the shortest and safest and surest path. So most intelligent people, they directly take up Bhakti Yoga. So we'll discuss how other paths are not recommended, especially in this age of Kali Yuga, because the life is very short and we are not very intelligent to take up other paths. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given a concession. He is giving the highest, topmost self-realization to the most unqualified persons. So we need to decide the goal first, and then we decide the path. So in the Vedic scriptures it is said that there are four goals mainly in the material world, or the purusharth, the four goals that people aim at. So dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. So dharma means religiosity, artha is economic development, Kama means sense gratification, and ultimately, if one has had enough in this material world, he wants to get out of this material world. He wants to enter the spiritual realm. He wants moksha. So people set one of these four as goal, their goal, and then they tread on a particular path. But Mahaprabhu has recommended the Pancham Purusharth, or the fifth goal, which is prema, prema bhakti. So yesterday we heard that prema bhakti is topmost goal of life. So if someone wants, if one sets his goal as economic development, artha, so then he has to work very hard to get that economic development, money, wealth, land, possessions. So typical example given in Bhagavatam and other scriptures is of a donkey. He works very hard. So he wants economic development also. He wants the grass. But it's not very intelligent. So that's not the highest goal of life. Grass is available everywhere. So Prabhupada says in his lectures, you know, how much wealth do you want? At the end of the day, you would just eat two chapatis, even if you have $2 million or $100, right? So same way, you don't have to work so hard for economic development. This human life is given for self-realization. So some people have their goal set as sense gratification. So endeavoring for sense gratification and participating in the activities of sense gratification, both are miserable. In Srimad Bhagavatam it is stated, there is no person more miserable than one who is always contemplating how will I gratify my senses. So such person is most miserable. Because sense gratification, satisfaction of the senses is impossible. You put more fuel to the fire, it burns more. So you will never be satisfied. So sense gratification is also not a very intelligent goal. Then dharma, that sounds very good. Religiosity. So many people are performing religious, so-called religious activities. But if one just performs these religious activities just for some upliftment to higher material enjoyment, that's also very unintelligent. So Vedas prescribe these religious activities to go to higher planets and enjoy there. But you are still stuck in the material world. So these activities are also not very, it's not for intelligent people. So there's a quotation by Madhavendra Puri. So he says that wherever I sit, I can remember Krishna. So I am trying to apologize that I'm not able to do these daily baths and so many other religious activities. So religious activities are like dana, you give charity, you study the Vedas, and you do different penances, austerities. If you are just doing them mechanically, then there is no use of it. So that's why Madhavendra Puri has his prayer. So then, if that's all, you know, artha, kama, and dharma, they are not very high goals. So then, fourth one is moksha, nirvana. You want to get out of this material world. So that's why so many people are after that. There's so many meditation societies, yoga societies. They are teaching about moksha. But that's also not very intelligent, because That's only partial understanding of the Absolute Truth. Absolute Truth is understood on three levels: Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. So if you want moksha or merge into the Brahman effulgence, that's only partial. Ultimately, you would have to go higher. You cannot stay in the Brahma Jyoti. Either you go higher or you would fall down to material plane. So that's also not very intelligent to set moksha as goal. So what is left? The fifth, Pancham Purushartha, Prema Pumartha Mahan. So Krishna Prem. So that's the prayojan. That's the topmost goal to have. So in today's verse, we will discuss what is the path we take to reach that goal. And the path is Bhakti Abhideya. So Bhakti Yoga is the surest path to this goal, towards this goal. So in Bhagavad Gita, also we have Chatur Shloki Bhagavad Gita. And there the equivalent of today's Bhagavatam verse is 10.9, Machitta Madgrat Prana, Bodhyanta Parasparam, Kathyantascha Maam Nityam, Tushyanti Charamanti Cha. So devotees are always relishing this hearing and chanting about Krishna. So they are situated in this hearing and chanting, and they are always remembering pastimes of Krishna, form of Krishna, and his holy name. So that's the process. So Bhakti Yoga is considered the topmost rung of the yoga ladder. So if one can get to the top straight away, so what? Why to go slowly? You know, if you can reach the top highest floor in a building by elevator, why would you go through staircase? It's very unintelligent. So that's why it is recommended that one should take Bhakti Yoga. First of all, we have to convince people to take up yoga, and then convince them that Bhakti Yoga is highest. Because everyone these days have heard about these words. These words are very common. In the dictionaries you would find these words: Dharma, Yoga, Maya, Karma. Everyone knows about it. But they don't know the real meaning. If you tell them about yoga, they just understand it as the exercise for your physical well-being. But yoga goes much beyond. Even these lower forms of yoga go much beyond. Because there is the conception of supreme. Yoga means you have to link up. So Prabhupada says in one of the lectures that there are two words, yoga and viyoga. Yoga means to connect or link up or to add. And viyoga means to subtract. So he says, Prabhupada says, yoga is plus and viyoga is minus. So like plus means 1 plus 1 is 2. So like we are there, we are one, and there is Supreme One. So yoga means to connect ourselves into that relationship. So there is an intimate relationship between us and the Supreme One. So when you add that up, and when you realize that, that is called yoga. And that is the Abhideya. So Bhakti Yoga adds that 1 plus 1, 2 very quickly and very naturally. It's natural for a spirit soul, a living entity, to serve the Supreme. And by serving, by lovingly serving the Supreme, one is reinstated in his original position. And then he's relishing the prayojan, the prema bhakti. And then there is no falling down from that anymore. So in today's verse, it's discussed that one must approach a spiritual master. The scriptures are given, so you can read them. Why do we need the spiritual master? It's very important to approach a spiritual master, because as we were discussing, we are not very intelligent. We cannot understand the scripture. Even Bhagavad Gita, it's very hard to understand. Although it's actually considered part of Mahabharata, which was initially written by Vyasadeva for less intelligent people. But Bhagavad Gita, it's like a puzzle for most people. And Prabhupada writes in the verse that people are distorting the meaning because they cannot understand. If one wants to exhibit his intelligence and give his opinions, then Prabhupada says you should write your own book. Don't call it Bhagavad Gita. So Bhagavad Gita comes in disciplic succession. Evam parampara praptam. You get Bhagavad Gita in disciplic succession. You cannot just stand and say, this is my version of Bhagavad Gita. So we cannot understand even Bhagavad Gita without guidance. So what to speak of Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nectar of Devotion, and other books. So we need spiritual master. In 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said, Tasmat Gurum Prapadyeta Jikyasu Shreya Uttamam. So there it is said, therefore you must approach spiritual master if you are inquisitive. Inquisitive about the greatest goal of life. If you want to know it, then you must approach. Prapadyeta, that form of the verb means you must. It's not that you can or you may, if you like. No, you must, prapadyeta. You must approach. And approach for what? Jigyasu Shreya Uttamam. You are inquisitive about Shreya. So there are two words, Shreya and Preya. Shreyas or prayers. So Shreya means ultimate goal, ultimate benefit, the auspicious benefit. And Preya means immediate benefit. So Prabhupada writes in one of the Chaitanya Charitamrita purports that if there is a small child, he just wants to play with his friends. And if the parents say, please come home and dress up, take your school bag, go to school. So he doesn't like that. So he's thinking about prayer, immediate enjoyment. But parents know what the Shreya is or the ultimate benefit is for the child. So children like to play. You know, they just want to play whole day. And Prabhupada gives example of like even Krishna. So where is that coming from? It's coming from Krishna. Krishna used to like to play with his friends, cowherd boys. And then when there would be time for lunch, then first Rohini, Mother Rohini, would come and try to call them and they would not come. And then Yashoda would try to call them and they would still say, no, we want to play, we don't want to come. Then Yashoda would say, see, your father Nanda Maharaj is waiting. Then they would go, finally. So, that's coming from Krishna. So, kids like to play, but parents know that what is the Shreya, that they should eat nicely, study nicely, and then they would grow up very nicely and become intelligent adults. So, the Shreya and Preya, but everyone is after immediate results. Everything should be very quick. So that's why in Bhagavad Gita as well, when Arjuna is presenting his doubts, then Krishna chastises him that, you know, you are lamenting for what's not worth lamenting for. So Arjuna says, Na cha shreyunu pashyami hatva sajana svajana mahave na kangshe vijayam Krishna na cha rajyam sukhani cha. So he said, I'm not seeing any good in killing my own kinsmen and then, you know, winning and enjoying the whole kingdom. I'm not seeing any auspiciousness in that. He uses the word Shreyas there, but Krishna tells him, you are after prayers also. The real auspiciousness is you just follow my instructions. And instructions of spiritual master are same as instructions of Krishna. That's why when we present something to spiritual master, it may be prayers, the immediate benefit that we see. But when spiritual master says, no, not this, do this rather. So that means he's actually seeing our benefit in long run. So we must understand scriptures by approaching spiritual master. That's the importance of spiritual master. And spiritual master is expansion of the super soul. In the pastime of Puranjan, in fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Puranjan was always thinking about his wife. So when he died, he became a woman. He became the daughter of king of Vidarbha, and her name was Vedarbhi. And then she was married to King Malayadvaj, and she would serve him nicely. And then soon they had 8 children. One was the daughter. So it is described there that the daughter had black eyes. So what it means by black eyes is, it figuratively describes that it means that she was devotional service personified. So that's what we are discussing. That's the subject of today, Abhideya Bhakti. So her eyes were black because she was always thinking of Krishna. So Krishna is black, her eyes turned black. And Vedarbhi and Malayadvaj, they had 7 sons. And the 7 sons represent the 7 processes of bhakti. So there are 9 processes of bhakti, as mentioned by Prahlad Maharaj. Out of those, 7 represent Vedi bhakti, and 2 represent Raga bhakti. So Raga bhakti is for the advanced devotees, and the 7 processes, the initial 7 processes, are for neophytes, Shravanam, Kirtanam, and so on. And the 2 which are Sakhyam and Atmanivedanam, they are considered little advanced. Once if you are habituated to perform hearing, chanting, remembering, worshipping, praying, then maybe later you can develop the intimate relationship, your real rasa, Sakhyam, and then you will be able to give up everything, Atmanivedanam. So these were the 7 sons which of Malayadvaj. So these processes, these 9 processes, actually constitute Abhideya. So if we sincerely practice daily, it's a cultivation, Anushilanam, it's a cultivation. So then if we daily do it, and then one day we will achieve Raga Bhakti. So the sages and Krishna, they are not lying in the statements of Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam. If we daily do it, then we will achieve the result. If we just have to follow the process of Abhideya, and then one day we will reach Prayojan. They are not promising something so that you come to this camp and, you know, later they would, you know, say, oh, bad luck, you know, you didn't get that. It's not like a normal business that happens, goes on in this world. You promise something and your product is not as good. You show it to be very good, but it's not as good. So Krishna and these sages, they are not like cheaters. They are giving us the real thing. So if we are sincere, then we can get to the final goal. So in this world, Krishna has provided everything very abundantly. On both platforms, if we study, on the material platform and the spiritual platform, everything is available. So Queen Kunti Maharani, she prays actually that because you have glanced over this world, this material world, everything is flourishing. So she says, Ime Janapada Sridha, everything is flourishing, everything is in abundance. So there's herbs, grains, you know, rivers are flowing, nice fruits are there on the trees, everything is in abundance. So for material prosperity, what else you need? If one understands that Krishna is the supreme, and you just dovetail everything, you offer everything to Krishna, then everything is in abundance, even materially. That's how this world was designed. Sa yagya prajasishtva purovach prajapati. So everything was given, demigods, and the sacrifices were given. You just perform the sacrifices, please the demigods and Supreme Vishnu, and parasparam, you will enjoy. Everyone will enjoy, even materially. But these days people even don't know how to enjoy materially. And then on the spiritual platform, everything is given. This world is purnam, in the sense the process is given, abhideya is given. Within this world we can perform this bhakti and attain the prayoja. So in that sense this world is complete. We have got everything we need here, right now. We shouldn't lament for anything. Na shochati na kangshati. We shouldn't lament and hanker for anything, ever. Everything is provided, materially and spiritually. It's not that we have to wait to get something. Everything is available now. You know, but that requires guidance, how to see that. So Arjun asks Krishna that what happens when a person attains, he follows the process, abhideya, and he attains prayojan. So what are his characteristics? So then Krishna answers, Prajahati yada kaman sarvan parth manogatan atmanyevatmanatushta srita pragyasta dochate. So such a person, he has given up personal sense gratification. He is situated in this world, but he is not thinking about his personal sense gratification. Rather, he is satisfied in the self. That means he is trying to satisfy the Supreme Self. And then he is situated in his real self as the spirit soul. Everything else, like the thought of our own sense gratification, is just a mental concoction. In Bhagavatam it is said that manorathena dhavato bahi, that this chariot of mind, it can just run and run and run, and you will never reach the destination. Most of our activities are based on mental concoctions because we are associated with these three modes. Some thoughts come up in the mind that we think, oh, if I do this, I'll be happy. And then our whole life is targeted towards that goal. And that's it. It was like a dream and we were running after that mirage. But the reality is not there. The substance is not there. But a sthita pragya, or one who is fixed in Krishna consciousness, he knows what the goal is and he is sincerely following the path of bhakti. So other paths, as we discussed, are very hard and miserable to follow. So the path of sense gratification, economic development, and even religiosity, reading all the Shastras and Vedas and giving charity. It's very hard. All these processes are very hard. And what to speak of moksha? Those who are after moksha, their process is very hard. Kleshodhi karastesham, avyakt asakta chetasam. Bhagavad Gita says, it's full of misery. But what is the path of bhakti? If you want the final goal, the path is very easy and joyfully performed. Su sukham kartum avyayam. So this is very strange. The lower goals, so it's a deal. Which one would you choose? So this is a lower goal and it's very hard to get it. And this is the highest goal and it's very easy to get it. Which one will you choose? So you have to be intelligent. So every year we go for distribution of prasadam to these various music festivals. So we see there, of course, as caterers we have passed, so we don't queue up. But there are thousands of other people who want to participate, and they have to queue up in their cars for hours, sometimes 3, 4, 5 hours, right? Even more sometimes. So they queue up. But and we just go past them. So we see all of them just standing there. But they are enjoying actually. So they know we would have to stand there in the long queue for 2 kilometers maybe of, you know, cars bumper to bumper. And they enjoy. They just move inch by inch for hours. And they enjoy. They have their alcohol and their football, and they are just playing and, you know, chatting. So what we can learn from that is, if your association is good, then you can endure the wait. So in devotional service, it becomes hard because we think, you know, we are not going anywhere. We are stuck. So daily, you know, Mangal Arati, chanting, reading Prabhupada's books, becomes very boring. But if we have good association, then it becomes very joyful. This wait to reach to the prayojan becomes very joyful. So that's what it means by susukam kartum avyam. So in the association of devotees, we relish it. So then it doesn't matter actually how long it takes. We want it to take even longer. So that's why the prayer of Mahaprabhu is Mam Janmani Janmeshware Bhavtad Bhakti Rahito Kitai. I just want bhakti, that is in association of devotees, and I'm happy to take birth after birth after birth. So there is no hankering that when will I reach to prayojan. Because if you are performing Shravanam and Kirtanam, you are already there. You have already reached the prayojan. So Janmani Janmeshwara. So I'm ready to take birth after birth. I'm ready to wait as long as possible. As long as I'm performing bhakti. As long as I'm on the platform of bhakti. So finally, I would read one verse by Bilva Mangal Thakur, which is given in Krishna Karnamrit. So here, he is saying that he is fixed in bhakti, which is the process, abhideya. So he says, bhakti stvai stiratara bhagavan yadi syat devena naha phalati divya keshur murti. So he's engaged in his devotional service so nicely. He's got the higher taste. He's always viewing Krishna in his keshur murti, in his youthful form. So as in yesterday's verse, we saw that an advanced devotee always sees Krishna, just like television. It's like a live telecast all the time, continuous, without interruption, no commercial break. he can always see Krishna. So that's what he's saying. He's fixed in his bhakti so much that he's seeing Krishna all the time in his youthful form. And then, mukti swayam mukuli tanjali sevate sman dharmarth kam gataya samaya pratiksha. So the liberation herself is waiting, folded hands, to serve us. And the ultimate goals of religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, patiently wait to render service to such a devotee. So dharma, artha, kama, moksha, everything is actually standing at the doorstep. It's readily available to a devotee. But he's busy in his abhideya, bhakti abhideya. And he will soon achieve prayojan. So that's the process. That's the glory of this bhakti yoga. You get the higher taste, param drishtva nivartate, and lower taste is gone. It's available, but you would not like to indulge in it. So that's the glory of bhakti. So there's much more explanation given further in the verse. There's Jiva Goswami's reference about the words sarvatra, sarvada, and so on, how it can be directly, indirectly done. So that speakers will discuss in classes for next couple of days, I think. So I'd like to end there and ask if you have any questions or comments on what we discussed. Yes.
Thank you for such a nice class. So the sixth focus of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam coarse food.
Yeah, because the Sambandha, Abhideya and Prayojan are given there and here, so in that sense. Yes, who? If you are mechanically doing and stuck at it, then it is very unintelligent. Yeah, I mean, the question is, we mentioned that dharma is, the goal of dharma is for unintelligent people. Then why does Krishna come? He says, dharma sansthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. So yes, he comes to re-establish the principles of religion, but as we said, it's unintelligent if one gets stuck at it. In that sense, it's unintelligent. But the goal of dharma is to advance spiritually to the understanding of Bhagavan, that platform. But if one is not advancing and he's just doing his religiosity, daily baths, 3 times bath, as a brahmana, I've got a thread. So many people have threads in India, right? And they're just following the dharma for the sake of it, so that you can get other ends of artha and kama. Then it's very unintelligent. But if dharma is performed correctly, then that will lead to bhakti very soon. That is good. So what I was saying was, if you get stuck at it and you go down, then it's unintelligent. So rather than take up bhakti straight away, like many, when Prabhupada went to the West, he was preaching to the hippies. They never performed any dharma. Yesterday I was hearing one lecture, Prabhupada was saying, you must take milk. It's very important for kids. It nourishes you. And if you don't take milk, you know, kids become rickety, and later they become like ghosts, and she said, it's just like these hippies. So he was saying hippies looks like just ghosts, So what's the... there is no point of dharma. They were not performing any dharma. But they took bhakti straight away and they reached highest platform. Right? So if one is performing just dharma on its own without advancing, then it's very unintelligent. So they were more intelligent than many pure so-called smart Brahmins of India. Right? They were more intelligent. Yes, Prabhu, you had some question? The same point, that if you are just performing those activities and not advancing, so it's a cheating process. You are showing. It's just a show. So that's the main reason. If one is sincere, then Krishna would guide him from within the heart. Otherwise, he will just put a show that I'm doing this study of Vedas, or I'm doing this. But in his secret life, he'll be attached to sinful activities also. Yeah. Yes, Prabhu.
For Grihastha, they have a lot greater responsibility of maintaining dharma, ardha, kama, moksha, as well as prema. Prema bhakti. How to manage these things? They have all these responsibilities. Not just the prema bhakti. They have all, they need to fulfill all these things.
Yeah. That's why Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. He was a grihastha. So what does Krishna tells Arjuna in 8th chapter. He says, Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mam anusmara yudhyacha mayyar pita mano buddhe mame vaishya samshaya. So he says, in all circumstances, you just think about me and fight. Mam anusmara yudhyacha. So you perform your duties, yeah, but you think about me, think of me. So for a grahastha, process is same, abhideya is same. He performs chanting, hearing, remembering, deity worship, and then you have a family, house, then you work and support that somehow. So both are important. We shouldn't artificially renounce. So both are very important. Thus, mam anusmara yudhyacha, both can be done. It's not, many people initially think it's either I'll leave everything or fully get into it. No, it's not like that. You can balance. So it requires guidance. That's why here it says, tasmat gurum prapadyata. You need to approach a person who can guide you in your particular situation by his experience. Okay, any last questions? Yes, bro. Well, three last questions.
Okay. What you said, one more thing. It's very important. Association of devotees.
Yeah.
Association of devotees is very important for all the activities. Then you can observe easily. If you associate with non-devotees, then you may become very difficult.
Yeah.
You might not even come to them.
Okay, Prabhu, we'll talk in ashram with both of you, but Prabhu, we can just finish it. Yes, yes, that's right. You do all those things with love for Krishna, then that's prema bhakti in simple terms. Loving devotional service. Bhakti yoga is translated like that. Loving devotional service. You do the service not morosely or with a grudge for your authority, but with love for Krishna and devotees, then that's prema. Or at least beginning, you know. If you have a respect that I've been given this service and you do it as best you can, so that's a very good start. You will very, if one is sincere, can reach the prayojan very quickly. Okay? All right, thank you very much. Okay, last one. The final last one. It is not. Thank you. Okay, thank you very much. Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Nitai Gaur Premanande.